And though the grass withers and the flowers fade away, the word of our God shall stand forever. Psalm 56, verses 8 through 13, reading from the ESV translation. Hear the word of the Lord. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that we are not lost in darkness, wandering, seeking your will, but that you clearly and perfectly and completely write it in your word. Lord, give us ears to hear. We pray this in Christ's name and to his glory. Amen. Last Sunday, we began a two-part look at Psalm 56, our Psalm of the month. This is a Psalm of David. And as we noted last week, this is a Psalm written in a time of particular trouble. Remember, David had narrowly escaped the murderous plots of Saul and found himself in the hands of his people's old enemies, the Philistines. And he's cut off. He's alone. He's abandoned. He's fearful. He's distraught. He's overwhelmed. In fact, so overwhelmed that he finds himself in the city of Gath, the very city of his old nemesis, Goliath. David had serious troubles. And we noticed last week that his troubles were intense. He felt overrun. He felt beat down. He continuously says, "They trample me." This was a crushed man. And his troubles weren't just intense, they were also enduring. That feeling that it's just not going to end day after day after day. No light at the end of the tunnel, no end in sight. He feels overrun, he feels beat down, he feels oppressed all day long, all day long, all day long. He continues the refrain. David also felt alone. He's outnumbered. He's lonely. And quite frankly, he feels like he is losing. But then we saw that as fearful as David was at this particular occasion, David did not fear as those who have no hope. In fact, he very clearly calls out to the Lord. He admits his fear, but in the very same verse he says, "When I'm afraid," verse 3, "I put my trust in you." David had reason to fear, but he had greater reason to fear the one whom all men should fear. See, he knew that God was bigger than his troubles. And he turns to him, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you." And we saw that more specifically, he puts his faith in the person of God, and he puts his faith in the Word of God. And at the end of the day, for the man who puts his trust in God and in the Word of God, fear will not dominate. That's exactly what we see illustrated here in David's psalm. God and His Word were his bedrock. Well, just a couple more observations this morning from the last portion of this psalm, beginning in verse 8. Here's David, beat down, overrun, abandoned, alone, fearful. He places his trust in God. He places his trust in God's Word. But look what else he does in this psalm. In verse 8, he reminds himself of God's knowledge, of God's omniscience. He says, God, you have kept count of my tossings. Are they not in your book? This is a picture of a man in serious trouble, a man who's fearful, a man who's oppressed, a man who is beat down. And we see him taking comfort in God's omniscience, that God knows everything. Think about this picture, the act of counting, the act of recording David's tossings, the act of recording his coming and his going, the act of recording every painful footstep, every painful moment, every difficult twist and turn in his life. This is a tender and personalized care that God, our Heavenly Father, has for His children, and that's where David is drawing comfort. The picture is of a king recording events in his official book, particular concern, particular individual attention, all of his motions, all of his weary steps, even his tossings and turnings. As he lies in bed at night, staring at the ceiling, too fearful, too lonely, too sad to sleep, the Lord is recording and taking note of every single toss and turn. That's a comforting thought for God's children. That particular care, that particular knowledge that God has of every circumstance in your life. But that's not all that gives David comfort. We see also that not only does he know our griefs, know our fears, but he also cares about them. Look at this beautiful metaphor. Put my tears in your bottle. See, it wasn't just that God is omniscient and that He knows everything about every circumstance of His children. It's that He cares so much about the details of your particular life that He can be asked to collect your tears in a bottle. That's omniscience, and that is empathy. The Lord knows every tear, every fear, every sorrow, and He collects every tear. It's hard to say exactly where this picture comes from. In the ancient world, there were customs of collecting tears in bottles, literally, small vials of tears. Perhaps from the custom of hiring mourners when someone was to be buried. In the ancient world, in David's time, they would pay to have people come and mourn and cry at a funeral. And it wasn't unheard of for those mourners to collect their tears in a bottle and to present it as proof that they had done what they were paid to do. But there's also an ancient custom of taking tears and collecting them in a small bottle and setting that bottle at the tomb of a deceased family member, friend, relative, to show love and concern and sadness that that person was now gone. Well, that's the metaphor that David is drawing on here, and his point, of course, is that not only does God notice your tears, He's concerned about them. Profoundly, intimately, personally concerned about your tears. Jesus uses a different picture in Matthew. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Christ speaks of this same compassion, care, and concern the Lord has for His children in a different way. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, Christ said this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Not two sparrows will fall apart from Him. Every hair on your head is particularly numbered by your Father in heaven. The point is, God is concerned about everything that happens to His children. And what David is doing in this psalm is expressing this confidence, this source of hope, that for every fear, for every sorrow, for every grief, for when you've cried so long that you think you cannot cry anymore, the Lord is there, and He knows, and He's concerned, and He's collecting your tears, and He's counting them, and He comforts His people in proportion to the affliction that they are receiving. That's the source of David's hope, based on the promises of His Word. And of course it hurts. God knows it hurts. He lost His very own Son. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, we read, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect was tempted as you are, and yet without sin." You see, the reason God knows that it hurts, the reason God can sympathize with your tears and your griefs and your fears and your difficulties and your hardships and your loneliness, is because He has experienced them in the flesh in Jesus Christ our Lord. He knows the hurt. He knows the pain. He lost His very own Son. And our high priest is able to sympathize with us and our weaknesses at every particular point. That's the great comfort for the Christian in trouble. And God also knows that any trial will not go beyond your ability to bear it. That's the grace that He gives to His children. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability." It's a wonderful promise to recall that God is faithful. That God's Word is true. That God knows every particular instance and He cares about it. And He can sympathize with it as you trust Him and trust His Word. Well, David does trust Him. And he goes on in verse 12 here of the psalm, and we see he trusts Him so much that he begins to sing as if he has already come through this trial. He says, "I must perform my vows to you. I will render thank offerings to you. for you have delivered my soul from death. You see, the present assurance to David of the future delivery was so strong that right here in the midst, in the muck of a life-threatening situation, he can give thanks to God because he's so sure and certain of the promises that he has set before him, of his care and his concern and his promise not to put more on David than he can bear, and of his promise to him that nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. And so here's David giving thanks in the midst of his trouble. His heart's overwhelmed by grace. And he says, I will give thanks to you. I will perform my vows. I will obey you. You have kept my feet from falling. And this is really the heart of the matter, verse 13. This is the heart of the matter. You have delivered my soul from death. That's the heart of the gospel. That God has delivered his children from the wages of sin, which are death. You see the reasoning that David's using here. He's saying, God, if you're going to deliver me from eternal damnation, that I might live for eternity with you, then how much more surely are you going to deliver me from this particular instance of difficulty? Or, as the Apostle Paul would later put it, he who began a good work in you is sure to bring it to completion. God does not start something in his children that he's not going to finish. Matthew Henry said, God never brought his people out of Egypt just to slay them in the wilderness. It's not God's purpose. It's not his plan. His love for his children is to bring them to salvation and to glory, and he's not going to fail to preserve his own for his heavenly kingdom. And so whatever the particular trial, there's ultimately only one question that matters. This can all be boiled down to one question of importance. Everything else is peripheral. And the question is this: is God for you? If God is for you, then nothing can stand against you. Trials, difficulties, sorrow, temptations, you go on and on and on. If God is for you, he will bring your salvation to completion. And that's David's comfort. God is for him. He's not against him. And that sets him above the circumstances of life. That sets him above any enemies that might set out to destroy him. And so in the midst of a life-threatening situation, he's confident that nothing is going to separate him from God's love. Nothing is going to separate him from God's eternal purposes. If God is for me, who can stand against me? Or what can man do to me, as David says? He can do a lot, but he cannot separate me from the eternal purposes of my Father in heaven and my Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our hope. Here's a man facing a life-threatening situation, and he can sing, and he can rejoice, and he can give thanks. I'll never forget holding the hand of a man facing a life-threatening surgery. Great potential for paralysis, even death. And he said, all I could remember was a verse that I learned as a child. Psalm 27. God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And he repeated it over and over again as the fear melted away, and he knew that whatever happened on that table, God was for him. And that's all that matters. He is our light. He is our salvation. He's our rock. He's our fortress in an unsafe world. He cares. He knows. He records our tossings. He collects our tears. And he promises to bring us to completion in righteousness in Jesus Christ. And so we rejoice. We obey. We follow. We sing. We walk before him in the light of life, as David says in the closing verse. That's our chief end. To glorify him, to enjoy him, to walk before him in the light of life, to obey his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word, and we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The hope that is ours because you are for us. And we rejoice and we give thanks in his holy name. Amen. Let's stand and sing the closing psalm, which is Psalm 56 in your Psalter. Receive the benediction.